ABC Radio Australia.
Well, you may remember there was plenty of drama at the Pacific Islands Forum leaders meeting in Nauru last week. Pacific Island leaders confronted Australian officials behind closed doors over the coalition's climate change policies, while a diplomatic spat between China and Nauru captured headlines around the world. Now, two academics, Tess Newton-Cain and Matthew Dornan, have written a piece pulling apart what happened at the meeting and the ramifications for the Pacific region. They spoke with our Pacific Affairs reporter, Stephen Jedgetts, who started by asking them about why the Australian government pushed back against Pacific leaders who wanted all nations at the meeting to promise deeper cuts to their carbon emissions.
You know, what we've seen in Australia for years now is complete dysfunction when it comes to climate politics and inability by the coalition to really get a policy framework in place. You know, the energy companies in Australia want clarity so that they can make investments, and that's just not been forthcoming. So I don't think it surprised anyone that Australia in the meeting sought to influence that climate change declaration. Equally, it's not surprising that the Pacific has reacted in the way it has.
Possibly it is a little bit surprising that both the Prime Minister of Tuvalu and the Foreign Minister of Vanuatu were a bit more upfront about saying that those issues had been a problem in the retreat. So in previous years, that was all kept very hush-hush about who said what and who was pushing back. But I think increasingly, and not just this year, we've seen Pacific Island leaders prepared to call Australia out on it in public.
Now, yesterday, Scott Morrison specifically cited the Pacific when he was defending the government's decision not to tear up the Paris Agreement, as some coalition backbenchers would like him to do. Is that an interesting development, that the Prime Minister's now openly citing the concerns of the Pacific when deciding on, or at least defending, his climate policy?
Yeah, I think that is a novel thing in Australia-Pacific relations, is the way in which Australia is providing or paying more attention to the Pacific. You know, several years ago, I think the Pacific was very much on the margins of the Australian political discussion, and recent concern within Australian security circles around donors like China that are increasing their aid to the region, I think has really highlighted the need for Australia to engage with the region. So I do think it is new.
I think part of it, I agree with Matt that it's new, and I think that part of the reason we've seen it is what's also new is on the other side of politics, we've seen lack of engagement in the Pacific, including the Prime Minister electing not to go to the forum as a point of criticism by the opposition, which we haven't always seen before either.
So you think the Pacific is now entering a little more into the mainstream domestic political debate in Australia?
It is, with that security motive in mind.
Let's go briefly to China. In particular, of course, we saw a pretty spectacular flare-up between Nauru and China at one of the earlier meetings. I guess that's unsurprising in some sense, in that, of course, Nauru has relations with Taiwan. Should we read anything in particular into this flare-up, or is it simply an inevitable cause of... is this friction inevitable, given the broader battle for influence between China and Taiwan with many smaller Pacific Island nation-states?
Well, I think it was. I don't think it was surprising, and certainly there are indications from what I've heard that that was largely engineered for that. It does bring into sharp relief what we've seen in terms of a renewed geostrategic competition between China and Taiwan, and in terms of how this affects the forum, I guess what we'd really be concerned about is how that develops between now and when the forum meets in Tuvalu, because Tuvalu is, as things currently stand, also a diplomatic ally of Taiwan. So certainly from the forum secretariat's point of view, the last thing they want is a repeat performance when they go to Tuvalu.
Where now for the Pacific Islands Forum? Obviously, we've got in particular this focus on climate change. And there's obviously a desire on the behalf of PIF leaders to try and use what influence they have to try and nudge Australia towards more ambition on climate change. What other mechanisms do they have at their disposal in order to do that? And what do you think we might see in terms of developments over the next 12 months in the lead-up to the next PIF in terms of those island nations looking to do what they can to push Australia towards greater ambition?
I might answer the second part of that question. I think... you know, what's going to be crucial for Australia-Pacific relations is whether the coalition stays in government after the next election in Australia. You know, that dysfunction of climate change politics in Australia, it's a domestic issue, but it really is one that afflicts the coalition more than Labor. So if we do get a Labor government next year, then I would expect that policies around climate change will shift quite quickly, and that will have implications for Australian Pacific Island relations.
It's likely, though, that there's still going to be a gap, though, no matter who's in power, between what Australia's willing to do and what Pacific Island leaders would like to see.
That's almost certainly true, but I think what the Pacific recognises that, you know, people are where they are and, you know, we're all on a journey together. I think Pacific leaderships would respond very well to at least some very important signalling, even if the ocean liner can't be turned around, they would certainly be listening very carefully to see if the captain's changing the orders.